And you are with Morning Report. Well, if an election was held tomorrow, it would flip the government onto the opposition benches, according to a new One News Varian poll. National has dropped by 2 points to 36% of the party vote. And the preferred Prime Minister rankings have also moved, with Christopher Luxon down 2 points to 23%. Joining us with his reaction to that is the Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon. Welcome to the programme.
Morning, Ingrid. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. What is going wrong?
Oh, look, I would acknowledge it's really a challenging time for Kiwis, but we're a government that's not going to shy away from tough decisions, because ultimately we need to fix the mess we've inherited. And that means, as I keep saying, rebuilding the economy, restoring law and order, delivering better public services, and that's what we're laser-focused on.
But those Kiwis, according to this poll, have changed their mind. Some who voted for you and your coalition partners would vote the other way now.
Well, I just say to you that we're 150 days into a government that is having to turn New Zealand around and face up to some really challenging and tough decisions. We're not going to shy away from that. We're here to fix the mess and make sure that New Zealand's realising its potential. For that to happen, we've got to stay focused on delivering for New Zealanders. And, I've got to tell you, I'm pretty focused on rebuilding the economy, restoring order, delivering better public services than the polls.
Sure, but that hasn't resonated with the public, though. I mean, you've ticked off your 100 days. You've made it pretty clear what you're doing for the next quarter. And so far, well, you've had to sack a couple of ministers as well, but so far that hasn't resonated with the public. Why do you think that is?
Well, I just say to you, it's a really difficult time for Kiwis. They've never been dealing with high levels of inflation and high interest rates for some time. They're frustrated. I get it. They want us as a government to actually rebuild the economy, lower the cost of living, grow the place, and that's what we're focused on. So, what we're here to do is not always easy and nice, but we're here to make the tough and necessary decisions to get New Zealand back on track.
Pessimism about the economy also up 7 points to 26%. Optimism is down 3 points to 36%. So they're not buying your approach to the economy either. They're not feeling better about that you are going to turn things around.
Well, I just think you have to acknowledge you've had 6 years of economic mismanagement that have created the situation that we're in. And if you're a New Zealander that's struggling with high, you're working hard, and your money's not going far because of inflation, because of interest rates, you've seen an economy now that has had 4 of the last 5 quarters shrinking. We're under no illusions about the challenge that we have economically for New Zealand. And New Zealanders are experiencing it in their families and their businesses each and every day. Mm. They're all having to tighten their belts. They're all having to make some really difficult decisions. We're doing the same at a government level, and we have to do that in order to get through this mess and actually get on the other side of it.
What about the actual policies, though? Changes to smoking, as I mentioned, you're having to sack a couple of ministers, the fast-tracking, the job losses, do you think that has anything to do with it?
Well, I'd say it's never easy when you've got anyone losing their jobs, and you're seeing that with the public service in particular here in Wellington. But I'd just say to you again, families have been tightening their belts because of the economic conditions left by the previous government. Businesses have been doing the same. Government needs to do the same as well. So, they're not easy decisions. They're not, they're tough choices that you have to make ultimately. Likewise, making sure we've got sanctions on people not living up to their obligations, making sure we get rid of unruly tenants and care. Not easy or nice decisions.
You're saying you're going ahead. You're not changing any approaches or anything. The public maybe has got this wrong because you're just doing the hard job.
Well, what we're saying is we're focused on the New Zealand people and the challenges that they're facing rather than the polls.
Just clarifying, obviously a lot of talk about fiscal cliffs still and time-limited funding. Yesterday you said that all programs, you told RNZ at the post-cabinet press conference, that all programs in the budget would be fully funded across 4 years. Are you standing by that?
Yeah, what we want to make sure is we're really transparent and open, and that things like FarmAC or school lunches, which have been time-limited funding under the previous administration to sort of make a bad budget look better, we actually make sure that they are permanent, and that's what you saw yesterday around FarmAC funding in particular. There'll be the odd incident where we're actually putting more money into a program, but we're testing or wanting to see the results of that program before we follow it up with more.
So there will actually be...
case,
time-limited funding?
A handful of things where there might be time-limited funding, but again, we'll be transparent about that. But it's either there's a review going on and we want to make sure that money is getting the outcomes and the results that we are expecting before we put more money into that program. But we'll be very open and upfront about that. But that's different from what's been going on here, which is you've had a government, whether it's on things like school lunches or Pharmac, they should be permanently funded, and that's what we've made sure that happens going forward.
James Shaw is bowing out of Parliament. He's been giving exit interviews. He talked about some informal conversations he'd had about working in coalition with you last year, but that National didn't follow through with that. Why was that?
Oh, look, I respect James. He's a friend of mine from before I came to politics, and I think he's going to leave Parliament with a very good legacy, particularly around the Net Carbon Zero Bill or Act. And it's great that our government's make sure we continue to commit to keeping that. And I think he's going to do very well. But the reality is that James is one thing, but as other caucus members, when you look at what was happening over that previous year before the election, we agree on the need to tackle climate change, but we have very big differences in opinion with the Greens on how to run the economy.
He was the co-leader, though, so presumably had some backup behind his position if he was willing to talk about it. Why not follow through with that conversation?
Well, I'll just say to you, his other caucus members are quite different from James, and I think you've only got to go back and look at public statements and understand the economic policy of the Greens and say that's something that we just have fundamental differences that would be very difficult to work with.
The Waitangi Tribunal has released its interim report into the changes your government's looking at making it, the Oranga Tamariki Act, asking for a pause on that, a rethink. Will you take any notice of the Waitangi Tribunal's report?
Well, look, I haven't read it, but again, what the key thing is...
Why haven't you read it?
Well, it came out yesterday, but what I'd say at 4 o'clock, but what I'd say to you is that it's a matter before the courts, and as you well know, as head of the executive, I can't comment on that.
Well, the matter before the courts is the compulsion or otherwise of getting a minister to appear before the tribunal. So that is an adjacent issue. It's not actually about the report and the recommendation of the Waitangi Tribunal.
Again, just with the comity and the respect between the executive and legislative branches and the judiciary, it's really important that I, as the head of the executive, I just cannot comment when we've got an appeal process going through the courts this week.
So you don't accept, you're adamant you can't comment on the report, even though it is a different aspect of the case that is actually before the courts. That's about Karen Chaw and whether she should appear.
Again, what I'd just say to you, I know it's not the answer you want, and I would love to talk to you about it, but the point is I'm not, because I need to respect the executive and the judiciary and the differences in our system. And it's important when a matter is under appeal and before the courts that there's no comment from me.
And probably a good idea if you had time to read the report as well before speaking about it. Finally, the school phone ban. I know you were asked about this yesterday. Your former school among those seem to be dragging the chain about enforcing this policy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what a great policy, and it's made a big difference already across New Zealand. You've got principals saying kids are talking to each other, there's less cyberbullying and kids are learning. So,
what about the schools that aren't saying it's a great policy and aren't implementing it in full?
Well, I think you'd find your schools are actually very, very positive on this policy. And as it became law yesterday, it's important all schools are compliant with the regulation. And importantly, I expect them to do that. And we'll have error auditing to make sure that they are compliant.